Blog Talk what's Radio.
What's up? What's going on, world? Your boy, the M, the R, the S to the A to the B to the A to the N to the N to the A to the A, to the B to the L to the H to the C to the K. Yo, what's up? It's your boy, Savannah Black. It's been a long time since I left you, but now, baby, I'm back. What's going on, world? Today's subject is, so you want to be a gangster. I went and got one of the toughest of the tough, hardest core gangsters I know, which is a family member, to break down the ins and the outs of that prison life. And to all you women that's listening in that might have a young man that think he might want to go that route, after hearing this show right here, he might want to think again. See, we think it's like Stir Crazy with Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder, where it's just one big comedy show. We think it's like Life with Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence. I never found nothing funny about that movie whatsoever because they lock on a yearly basis hundreds if not thousands of brothers up on trumped up charges that they didn't commit. They lock them up and throw away the key. It's an easy thing that can happen to any black man. You can just say, you know what, baby, I'll be back. I'm about to go to the store. You want something, you know, want me to bring you something back. And when you get to the store, guess what? Somebody can just rob the store. The lady can say he was tall and light-skinned. You can be fat, short, and dark-skinned, and they'll lock you up. It's a shame, but that's just the way it is. But I'm going to bring on, and maybe he can, like I said, help change the minds of your youth from going out there and doing silly billy. I'm going to try to keep it clean. Stop him from going out there and doing something reckless. And also to learn how to conduct himself when he is confronted by any part of law enforcement. We got these rappers out here that's rapping about that glamour life, rapping about that cocaine, rapping about those Marlies, rapping about toting that heat, rapping about putting two and three inside somebody, two to the dorm. And these kids are listening to that, taking it as real life, and they're taking it for being something that reality when it's nothing but fiction. The sad part about that fiction is these rappers, even on off-camera interviews, they still will have you to believe that they are really about their life. I'll give you an example. Clifford Harris, a.k.a. T.I., T.I., he got on TV after he got locked up and said, you know, hey, you know, I just do what I got to do. You know, that's, you know, my life, I grew up like that. I'm a thug like that. When he got caught with all those pistols, when he got caught with all those AK-47s, he made it seem like he really was about that life. I'm talking about, like, he really was doing it like that. But in the state of Georgia, one thing that you can't do is carry around guns and you're a convicted felon. Get caught with bullets, AK bullets, and you're a convicted felon. You can't get caught with a 22 or deuce. If you're a convicted felon. Johnny Cochran said it before he died in the public service announcement. You know, he said if you, you know, got caught with some dope, he'd get you off. If you got charged with a murder, he probably can get you off. He said, but if you are a felon in the state of Georgia, he can't get you off. Now here it is, T.I. He do what? 13 months. Then he got busted, not by regular police, but he got caught up in a sting operation. Now I know some of y'all might say, you know what, but T.I. got long money like that. T.I. money ain't long like that. See, that's that Boulé thing. But then he get out. Give him the benefit of the doubt. Then this fool get caught again in L.A., of all places, with drugs, Molly, pills, powder. How in the world can you get caught in the state of Georgia now? And the person I'm bringing on, his last major charge that he got when he was locked up was for a possession of a pistol. And he'll tell you about it, how hard it is to get off for those charges. But right now, I'm going to go ahead and I want to play my theme song. Y'all know what it is. Savannah Black, Constant Attack.
You're quite hostile.
I got a right to be hostile, man. My people been persecuted.
With spike, I hold the mic to fight. With force, I keep it away, of course. And I'm keeping you from sleeping. And on the stage, I race and I'm rolling. And to the poor, I pour in all my metaphors. And I'm bluffing, it's nothing that we ain't did before. We played to say the points made, you consider it done by the prophets of rage.
What the people say? Yo, Griff, you're next one up. You get to the east side. We got to kick it for the east side, G.
I roll with the punches so I survive. So try to rock, cause it keeps the crowd alive. I'm not bowling, I'm just calling. But I'm past the days of yes, y'allin'. I wiggle round, around, I pump, you jump up. Hear my words, my verbs to get
do stuff, do
I've been stuff. Around a while, you can't describe my sound. Clear the way for the prophets of rage.
Hey,
what the people say?
Hey, yo, Griff, we got to get to my man Ralph in the south. Let's kick it to the south side,
I ring your bell, can you tell I got feeling?
Feeling.
If this piece at least does I want it.
Want
I want it so bad,
so
that
bad.
I'm starving.
Starving.
I'm like Garvey, but can you see me? If I said I'm like Nat, leave me the hell alone.
Hell
if you
alone.
Don't think I'm a brother, then check my chromosome. And then you check the stage, I declare a new age.
Get down
for the prophets of rage.
Then you kick it like this.
Okay, okay, come on. Okay, okay, come on. Okay, okay, come on.
He didn't even complete the whole year in the federal system. Now, Johnny Hooker, being one of the greatest black minds of our time when it comes to that law, said if you get caught with a pistol in the state of Georgia, then he can't even get you off. Now, for that to be said by Johnny Cochran, and for this man to get off after getting caught with all that artillery, enough to start a small army, that lets you know somebody got to be snitching somewhere. Now, snitch was T.I. He get all the publicity, you know, to kind of make things look more in favor of his side, but if you are what you call on the street, quote unquote, a real nigga, they don't get mad at me, y'all. That's the term that they use, a real nigga off the street. But if that's what you are, then guess what? You don't talk. You do the time. You do the crime. You do the crime. You do the time. And for some of y'all, you might find it hard to believe, but that's just the way it goes. What we had going on this week, we had a lot of stuff in the news, but just for one thing outside of my subject that I want to talk about, and that was the NFL draft. If you've seen the draft, then you'll see that this certain player got selected by St. Louis. Player I'm talking about he's going to become the first openly gay NFL player. And his name is Michael Pissy Boy Sam. Now, Mr. Sam, he got selected 249th overall, 34th pick in the 7th round, making him the first openly gay athlete to be drafted into the NFL. He will play professional football about 125 miles east of the Missouri campus, where after coming out to teammates before the 2013 season, he led the Tigers to the Southeastern Conference Eastern Division Championship and led the conference with 11.5 sacks. 11.5 sacks. Ain't number one sack that old boy wanted. And that's how come he's probably so successful in his That's probably why he's so successful in his position. But that's not the part I'm kind of let me get myself together. But see, when I talk about this, a lot of people they always like to say, "Well, Mr. Black, you always talking about homosexuals. You always talking about the gays this and the gays that." And I'm like, look. Shit, they got an initiative, they got a plan, they got an agenda that they're trying to put down on the young American male and female. Well, he's not the only gay football player. No, he's not the only gay sissy that's playing, but he's the one that's out in the open. See, the bad part about this was ESPN. You know, you just look at ESPN, you're like, damn, I miss the fight. I miss baseball. I miss basketball. I miss football. Tennis, I don't care what it is that you miss as in line with sports. But you look at ESPN, and they'll show the highlights every 30 minutes. So I just clicked on. I'm not a big sportsman. I used to love football, but it's like hip-hop. I used to love them. Not no more. But anyway, You see this dude, right? He picked the phone up and he's crying. And he got this white boy next to him, right? I said, well, damn, the white boy must be his agent. Because, you know, most Negro players have a white agent. So I see the white boy, I said, oh, it must be his agent. Do you know that this 50, got on and started crying. The next thing you know, he grabbed the white boy and hugged the white boy and then kissed him right there, smack in the mouth. And I said, you know, I said, I'm going to curse. But family, I'm like, what the fuck? Another one? They make it their business to bring out these stories of these black athletes of being gay. They did the same thing with Jason Collins. If you recall a couple of months ago, who now played for the Brooklyn Nets. He came out and said he was gay. Matter of fact, he was a retired basketball player. He not no tough-ass player. He just a basketball player. But he came out and said he was an old faggot boy, bartender boy. I didn't say in Jamaica, bartender boy. He came out and said he was a bartender boy. The next thing, you know what happened? This man, matter of fact, not only am I gay, but I'm going to play back in the NBA. Hey! And he went back in the NBA. And started playing. See, I'm looking at it, right? I'm like, damn, is that just a game he's using to be able to, you know, to get some team to sign him? But then I look, I see him holding hands with his little faggot friend. I'm like, oh, Lord, the man faggot for it. I was like, it wasn't no ploy, it wasn't no plot. It was what it was. But you have to wonder, why? Then you had Barack Obama. Jason Collins came out and said he was gay. He tweeted something, which I'm going to pull up in a second. Then when Sissy Boy Sam came out, he tweeted something. When Jason Collins started back playing ball in the NBA, he tweeted something again. But then the boy got on Twitter to tell my thank you to the St. Louis Rams and the whole city of St. Louis. I'm using every ounce of this to achieve greatness. The 6'2", 261-pound side linebacker said. They asked LeBron how he felt about it. LeBron was like, well, you know, LeBron James was like, well, you know, it's a dream of anybody that plays sports, you know, to make it to the big stage. You know, LeBron was like, oh shit. He's like, oh man. They about to bring me into this right here. Let me try to smooth it over. But you have no other choice, LeBron, except for two or something, as long as you play with the white man ball in your hand. But they bring out these black players, and Barack Obama being the first openly, admittedly so black president, closet gay, he accepting it. So it looked to the whole world like the blacks in the United States accept it. The blacks all over the world accept it. So, you know, what's the big problem? But y'all know, that gay stuff is not our forte. It's not our forte, and it never has been our forte. You have to ask yourself, why are they pushing this on us so much? You know, they only had Jason Collins to come out, but now they wanted to be in the NFL. And these right here, as you may know, are two predominantly black sports that they want us to be proud that we have faggots. This is not a gay-friendly show. That's what I said. I said again, faggots playing inside the NFL. y'all first black, hopefully admitted by the white people of being the first black president, which we know, you know, is a lie, but your first gay president, he said, the president congratulates Michael Sam, the Rams, and the NFL for taking an important step forward in our nation's journey. From the playing field to the corporate boardroom, LGBT Americans prove every day that you should be judged by what you do and not who you are. I wonder how Michael Sam's mama felt. I wonder how Michael Sam's daddy felt. I wonder how they felt seeing his son on TV kissing this white boy in the mouth. I'm saying, you already know your boy a faggot, but it's not so much in him having to just say he a faggot. He had to get on national TV and kiss this white boy in the mouth. I said, and this is the funny part, too. This is the funny part. Not only is he gay, but even y'all gay black dude, y'all can't get a damn athlete that's gay. Hey, unless they use the call service, because he even got a white bitch on his elbow. Michael Sam even got a white bitch on his elbow. Now, I don't know if he'll last over a season, because I know they're going to try to tear his ass up. And I don't mean that, no homo. But they're going to try to tear his ass up. They're not going to let that go as easy, y'all. Every chance somebody gets, they're going to try to, I'm saying, these defense think that people on offense going to be trying to hit his ass. It's just sad. But you have to ask yourself, why is it that they're pushing this right here on us? Also, I like to say, peace out to Sun Ray 9. Sun Ray 9. 7X. Brother Eric, that was a beautiful show that them brothers did, the Right Knowledge Hour, where they brought on the master teacher, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I couldn't find nothing wrong in anything that he said on that speech, and if any of y'all, you know, want to listen to the show, it's on the archive, Culture Freedom Radio and Blog Talk Radio, where they talk about it's different types of programs that they'll have on. They'll have on maybe the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They'll have on John Henry Clark. They'll have on some Dr. Ben. They might even have on some Farrakhan. It's not so much the judge of the person as it is the knowledge that they put in their mouth. The things that they say and what they hold and where they hold today as far as being true. So I'm at the, oh yeah, also you can go, you got an iPod. If you want to, you can go ahead and podcast, upload them to your iPod and listen to them while you're at work or while you're jogging, while you're shopping. You'll learn a lot from off of that. I'm sorry, you really would. But today, I don't want to waste too much more time. I want to go ahead and bring on the brother after this commercial break. Bring on the brother who I'm going to be asking these questions to, about prison life and everything that he had went through when he was locked up.
So you want to be a gangster? All that shit. Smoke any motherfucker, don't even trip. You be hard as hell, take whatever you want. Punk suckers want to front, they get done because you a gangster. Nothing more, nothing less. Put my boys in the chest and catch one in the chest. When he was young, homeboy won't back down. Cause real gangsters always hold that ground. Until you lose control, then you sell your soul to the devil, motherfucker, cause you way too cold. And all the people hiding just run inside, cause you keep using your gat committing homicide. Boy, I tell you, life is way too short. Another brother just got smoked and he killed him. Ain't that a bitch? Cause it really ain't shit. Gang, gang.
Shoot him up.
Let me tell you something, youngster. You got it all wrong. Gangsters don't live that long. I had gangster pilots get their heads cut off. Some of that gangster shit. Caught in the cross, you want stripes, take your ass to the service. Cause when it's on, ain't no time to get nervous. Pull a trigger. Yeah, you did it. You's a gangster and I got to admit it. But you's a young buck. You ain't learned yet. Killing don't make you a vet. Get out the fast lane. Stick with the homeboy. Ready made gangster, get gone, boy. Cause where I'm from, it's the same old shit. You call them shots when you're down with the clip. Niggas dying every day, but that's a black thing. You either sell dope or you gang bang. But you got the biggest heart in the clique, man. You did a murder and now you're a hit man. All your homies trying to judge you. That ain't cool. Playing shoot 'em up like a fucking fool, but you's a gangster, one they can't destroy. Don't even give a fuck about your boys, you go for self. You wanna be on top, you fucked around and now your brother's shot. Gang,
shoot him up. Gang, that ain't cool. Gang, ain't that a bitch? Gang, shoot him up.
A lot of people, they listen to those shows and those songs, excuse me, and they go out and they really try to live their life. Next year this time, they're going to have songs on the radio that's going to be sung from a perspective. And you're going to see the kids. You think that you see them, you think that you're doing gay stuff now. You wait until the songs start coming on the radio. If you listen to these songs now, these songs talking about selling drugs, shooting more bang bang, being reckless, wait till next year this time when several times every hour they play music that reflects the homosexual lifestyle. You think you see them inside skinny jeans now? You think you see them in skinny jeans, and you wonder, damn, my boy LOP ain't gay. Nah, he might not be gay, but, you know, you have to kind of look at the way things are going now. You got gay rappers out there coming out, just like T.I., like I was talking about a minute ago. They're coming out. Muscle cut, tank tops, you know. Skinny jeans, I'm talking about dressing like your favorite rapper's favorite rapper. And then they don't care what you have to say about it. And then what you call homo thugs. Those are the same ones that look forward to going to prison. Because if they go to prison, then they don't have to worry about nothing. They're going to be booed up. You know, I use the term booed up because if I went to, was going to prison and the judge asked me, said, you know what, all right, you have to do blah, blah, years. But, you know, the lawyer had got you a good deal, you know, and I'm like, what good deal that is? You know, what can be so good about being locked up, you know? And he said, you get to choose the prison of your choice, male or female. And if I want to go to Georgia's Women's Correctional Prison, I can go there? You mean I can spend the next 3, 5, 10 years of my life being the only male that's constantly surrounded by women? That I won't be, you know, more than not upset to go? Of course. I'll be looking forward to going to prison. I'm not lying. I'll be looking forward to going to prison. Here we go. Cheryl, how you doing? We all see you inside the chat room. What's going on with you? But anyway, like I said, though, when this gay hip-hop come on the scene next year this time, and these rappers be looking like your favorite rapper. What you think will happen? You think that we knee deep, that we are knee deep right now with this homosexual gay thing? What you think gonna happen? Would it be flooded on BET, flooded on the radio, flooded on billboards, flooded on posters? What you think will happen? People got the nerve to call me homophobic. But how can I be homophobic? A phobia is a fear of something, right? So that's to say that scared of faggots, that when I see them and I'm walking down the street, I'm liable to run into a car. But anyway, run into a car to get away from them. Anyway, I have my guest on the phone now. I'm about to bring him in. He's inmate number. Well, I'm just going to use this right here as the alias for him. If he want to tell you his name, then he could. But I'm going to call him for right now. Inmate 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Bring them on.
Hey, what's
inmate? Hello? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. What's going on, brother?
Hey, brother, how you doing? This inmate 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. How y'all doing this evening?
All right. I felt it was important to bring you on the show because I'm listening to these songs on the radio.
Uh-huh.
And I see a lot of people, young kids, walking around with these grimaces on their face, with their pants hanging down their kneecap. I'm talking about they don't have no respect for grown folks whatsoever. But they're still saying the same thing that we used to chant back in the 90s about riding and dying and, you know what I'm saying, being down with they niggas. They don't care about going to due time. Remember that movie with Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder, Stir Crazy?
Yeah.
Hey, you remember how funny it was when you first seen it?
Yeah.
Before you had the realities of prison life.
That's real. You thought that that was what prison was. You thought that prison was a game. You didn't really think that it was, you know, some of the things that really going there was really more so like HBO. You remember the HBO hit series with Alibisi and you know, prison a lot like really prison can be defined like a jungle, like a food chain. The strong, the stronger, the strongest, the weak, the weaker, the weakest. Somebody always preying on somebody. Something always preying on somebody.
How many times have you ever been in prison?
I've been to prison on numerous occasions. I've been to prison more than Martin Luther King.
Nah, he didn't go to jail.
Nah, I'm just being funny. I've been to prison about
five
four times in my life. Four or five times in your life.
Okay, okay.
That's a lot of time.
Okay, okay, I got you. What was your first charge that landed you in prison?
The first time I ever got locked up, I got locked up for possession of crack cocaine. The second time I went, but what sent me to prison was possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. I was 17.
Okay, okay.
No, that was the first time.
Okay. Okay.
One charge led to another charge. So I ended up at 17. I got sent to boot camp. I didn't make it through boot camp. Boot camp was a 90-day program. You know, like I say, again, it was one of those situations that happened where you had a dude that was from where I was from. And he was depicted as a thug on the street, but when he was in prison, he was getting bullied on. So me being the dude that I am, you know, homeboy, whatever, you know, I jumped in, hit a dude in the head with a shovel, so I end up going to prison. I was 17 at the time. I never knew that. You know, like you hear these dudes rapping on the radio, you know, they artificial, because when you really live that life, you don't really talk about that life. You know what I'm saying? When you really bought that life, you ain't got to act like you bought that life because people will see it in you. It's your everyday character. You know, it's
and
not
you know
fictitious.
What? I'm glad that you took the time to come on the show and talk to me, because I want to ask you these questions, and I know some of them might be kind of, you know, put you back in a place that you might not want to think about, but I feel like it's important that these things get discussed and these questions get asked, because these young kids out here, they really think it's like going to the free lunch park. They really think it's like going to, you know, the halfway house. They really think it's like going to some type of probational camp.
It's not.
Community service.
It's not.
So let me ask you this right here, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The first time that you got shipped off to prison, you were 17 years old.
I was 17.
And you said you violated the terms of your the terms that you were in agreement of when you was inside the what you had said it was, what you call it?
I was in a prison boot camp.
So
where you wake up and do IPP in the morning, and you know it's just
IPP?
Like it ran like a military base. Basically.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. Did
march
you do,
everywhere you go.
Oh, so it was like, okay, it was boot camp. Okay, boot camp.
It was boot
camp. All right, then.
Yeah.
After you had got kicked out of that program for, you know, defending your homeboy, quote unquote, how was your first experience when you went to prison, and what feelings did you have as a 17-year-old child?
I was Chomp, confused, afraid, terrified, didn't know what to expect. But most of all, I felt like, why me? Like, this couldn't be happening to me. This can't be real. You know what I'm talking about? And then, you know, when I entered the building and I was walking down the walk, you had dudes hanging out the windows, dudes beating on the bars, and they was hollering, "Fresh meat. Look at that one right there.
Fresh meat.
Yeah, we gonna get you. We gonna get you." But the funny part about it was they meant what they said. They meant what they said.
They were serious.
So if you wasn't, yeah, they were serious. They meant what they said.
So how many,
if you wasn't,
how many people, all right, that first walk, how many people would you say was screaming at you out of, I'm saying you had to pass by hundreds of people, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
People, what percentage of them would you say were screaming at you? You know, those homo
out of the 100
type of incarnation. Yeah.
I'm going to say about 65%.
So half of them.
Yeah, half of them.
A little bit over half of them was screaming at you. A young-ass 17-year-old child.
Yeah, that's right. But at the same time, you got to...
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
At the same time, we talking about grown-ass men. We talking about a nigga daddy, a nigga uncle. We talking about your granddaddy. We ain't talking about another dude like you. We talking about grown-ass seasoned men. We ain't talking about no kids. We talking about grown people. And as a child,
you ain't talking about nobody.
I ain't talking about your daddy. I ain't talking about your homeboy. I'm talking about your daddy. I'm talking about your granddaddy. I'm talking about your uncle, your favorite uncle. I'm talking about one of them type of dudes.
Damn.
Yeah, that's what it was. And it was. And when I entered the prison, it was 12 of us. And out of 12 of us, only 4 of us stood strong. So you talking
what
about
you mean
eight
by
dudes?
Strong?
Meaning it wasn't no raping. It wasn't no taking nothing. When I got in there, you know what I'm saying, I met an old dude. He was from Savannah, but this is the game he played. He act like he was from Savannah because he had done talked to so many people from Savannah. But at the same time, he was playing the game. So the first time I got ready to go to store, you know, at that time you're young, so your folks keep you with money and, you know, try to make sure you're straight. You know, you kind of pampered. So I was going to the store. Nigga told me when I go to the store, nigga, when you go to the store, nigga, you better get me a bag of coffee and a pack, what that nigga said, a cat of cigarettes or something like that. So I thought he was playing. So another dude said, "Man, he ain't playing, y'all." So it was another old dude. He was real cool. He was like, "Listen, you got to take this lock in this belt, man. They call this a chopper. You put the lock," he took me in the room and said, "You put the lock on the belt like this, and this how you handle it." He said, "You just wrap it around your hand," and he said, "You just swing for all that you worth." So when I went to the store, I put the belt and the lock in the back of my pants. You know what I'm talking about? I'm 17 at the time, you know. I don't know no better, but at the same time, I had just talked to my old man, my dad, and he was like, "Listen, you came in there, man, so you got to come out of, man." He said, "Whatever you have to do, I support you." So to me, that was the green light, you know what I'm saying? In other words, you know, your mama probably couldn't have told you that. Mama probably would have been crying on the phone, you feel me? But to hear my daddy tell me, like, "Look, you got to stand up no matter what." So that was kind of like a motivation, you know, a green light to, you know what I'm saying, do whatever it takes. So I came from the store, whatever, coming up the steps, they had this thing called Dead Man Curb. You know, for all the kids
dead
out there, this
curb.
Is real
Why
talk.
Why you call it Dead Man Curb?
Because it's a blind spot in the prison. It's a spot where when you walk past it for about, let's say, 50 feet, nobody can't see you. Ain't no cameras or nothing. So niggas be lined up all along that spot, you know what I'm talking about? And you got to walk through him. So as I'm walking through him and I'm going up the steps, the old nigga, he was standing there. So he said, little nigga, you got no cigarettes? I said, "Nigga, I ain't got nothing." So then he came at me. So I snatched the belt out the back of my pants and I went to beating on
how
him.
How much bigger was he than you?
I say I was about, at the time, I probably was about 5'10". Because I'm 6 feet now. So at the time, I probably was about 5'10". Something like that. I was probably about 100 and something pounds. He was all muscle, cuz. I said he was about 6'1". You know, that chain gang built. Arms, chest, traps. You know what I'm talking about? Back, shoulders. Looking like Lou Ferrigno without the legs. That's how he looked.
You say Lou Ferrigno without the legs?
yeah, you know, this is real talk. You know, this is a dark place for me. But what I'm getting at is I took that belt out. With that lock on it, man, and I just beat him, man. And I just kept swinging and kept swinging. But at the time I was swinging, guess what? I was just as scared as he was. You feel me? And that was my first lesson. That was my first assault. So, you know, I go to the hole. They lock me down. You know, they got this place called the hole. It's a place where, like, the first 48 is set for you in a room by yourself, and you get to know yourself. And if you don't know yourself, get what you'll do to yourself. You will hang yourself.
What you do to yourself?
You will hang yourself, you will kill yourself, you will cut yourself, you will lose yourself. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, in
let me ask this right here. Did you ever knew somebody to go through the hole and not ever come back?
Yep. I know several. I know black, white, bodega, Mexicano, you know what I'm saying? You name it. You know what I'm saying? I came in with some white boys. Shit. By the end of the week, the white boy's name was Tim. Next time I ran into the white boy, he had Kool-Aid around his mouth. He had ashes over his eyebrows, and he told me don't call him Tim no more. His name was Tammy. You know what I'm saying? It was another dude came. He tried to act tough. Shit, when he went in the shower, they raped him and left him in the shower. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's like people could be out here in the streets talking about, well, you know, I'm tough, I'm this, I'm that, you know. I can handle it, but, you know, I think it's a sad thing when a man feel like he could do time. You know, when you could do time, when you feel like you adjusted to being in prison, that's when you messed up. That's when the system
and they got a name for that. And they got a name for that, and they call that being institutionalized.
No, no, they call that suckerism, big bro. Institutionalized is when you're already in the system and you continually go through the same shit over and over, and you become programmed to do the same shit over and over. You become programmed to the system. Let me tell you about prison. Prison to the point right now where when you go to prison, police don't tell you nothing but, look, we know everything. We ain't got to come look for you. If you do something, we going to know it. Snitching at an all-time high. The inmates show the other inmates everything. Like, if you be about to get in something, another inmate will be like, man, just let that go. Man, don't worry about that. So what happens is you become passive. So when it's time for you to deal with aggression, you done lost yourself. So now you become a victim, you know. I just was blessed. I ain't gonna say I was blessed. I just was always able to turn it up when it was time to turn it up. I just was always able to do what it took to be that, to be me. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead, brother.
Let me ask you this right here. When you say you was able to turn it up, that is a blessing, because a lot of people, they're too sycamorized to even be able to get up on the level of turning something up. You know, when it's time to go in and do that battle, you know what I'm saying? It's either to go to battle or to be a bitch. And when I say to be a bitch, I'm not saying, you know, to be a bitch in a derogatory way to offend no woman. But I'm just talking about a man for himself as a man with the aggressive that he should to go along with the situation at hand. I'm talking about a man that choose to remain docile and to get slapped and turn the other cheek at times when he should. But I'll ask you, out of all young kids that you've seen that come into the prison system, what percentage of them that you know of that have been, I'm talking about, you know, from ones that you've seen, from ones that you heard of, you know, because I know, you know, you can come in and have a certain look in your eye.
Yeah.
And then certain inmates can see that certain look in your eye because they are so used to running that game, being the so-called hunter and, you know, the little young boys being a lioness, I mean, being they prey or whatever. But out of all the young boys you see out there between the ages of 17 and the age of 20, 21, how many of them, what's the percentage of them you say that might have, that you know of, you know, or heard of, I'm saying just all together that might have been anally raped, that their manhood has been took. Not so much of them being turned into, you know, a little sissy girl, but their manhood being took.
I'm going to say over 70% of the people that have been incarcerated done indulged in some type of homosexual activity. You know what I'm saying? Whether it was knowingly or not knowingly, you know what I'm saying? They did it. And then, you know, you got different breeds of people, you know, in different states, you know, certain things not shunned upon. Like you got D.C. dudes, you know, in prison, shit, they love other men. And it's cool. It's the thing. You see men talk to other men like men be women. Like the psychological thing, it's really a psychological thing. And what I mean by that is anytime that you could see a man call another man sugar, a baby, or say, man, look at that hoe over there, man, look how she acting. And you look and you say, man, who are you talking about? And you see another dude walking by, it blow your mind, you know what I'm saying? Because psychologically you understand that, look, the people done been tricked. But the trick done been put down so long to even the old dudes see it's to the point now where when I went to prison at 17, you had old heads that would try to teach you something. So therefore I became a little more educated, you know what I mean, and a little more well-rounded. But nowadays when kids go to prison, there's no more elders. They don't give a fuck about the elders. They got this new thing now called 80 babies going crazy, 90 babies going crazy. It's us or them. In the state prison right now, in Savannah, well, in Georgia, shit, 100% of the inmates are gangbangers. So now you got all these different gangs, all these different crews. So when your child, little Madman or little Raphael or little Raymond or little PL or little Johnny or Kevin, when they leave you and go to prison, they become something else. Because in prison right now, either you with it or you ain't. Either you bought it or you not. They got extortion. They got rape. They got robbery. And guess what? They got top of the line right now. Murder. Murder's at an all-time high. So the prison system done changed. So you got dudes out here, now they pledging blood, which is a West Coast thing. Now they pledging Crip, which is a West Coast thing. Now they pledging...
Hold on. You saying that... The gangbanging culture from the West Coast have reached all the way down here on the other side of the United States of America and affected even the prison system down south?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Let me ask you this. Did you ever join any type of gang when you was locked up institutionalized? Institutionalized, but being in the institution.
I went to prison a gangbanger. I never became a chain gang prisoner. I never pledged nothing in prison because I felt like that was sucker shit. You know what I'm saying? You can't come to prison and then talking about you Tony the Tiger. Either you was Tony the Tiger on the street. You can't come to prison and talking about now you goddamn Marvelous Marvin Hagler. Nigga, you wasn't boxing on the street. What make you a boxer now? But, you know, in this day and time, you know, I had this little saying I used to say to myself all the time. In prison, I call it La La Land. Why I call it La La Land? Because I feel like you could be whatever you want to be. But, you know, anything about character, it's going to show and tell. So if you're a thug, it's going to come a time to be a thug. If you're a pimp, it's going to come a time to be a pimp. But, you know, in life, you got a lot of people saying, well, I'm a king or I'm a G or I'm this. But when it's time to G up, when it's kind of king up, guess what they is? They bitches, man. Some niggas goddamn bitches, man. Drop to your knees type bitches. You know what I'm saying? Call it home to your mama.
Man.
Mama, send me some money so I can pay a nigga type bitches. You know what I'm saying? You know, but these women, that's like the day I was to my mother.
Hold up for a second. Let's back this up. Because I want everybody that's listening, I want them to hear him say this right here again. So, man, I got a little rewind. Now I'm pressing play. Go ahead, please.
When they was in prison, you know, they go to prison and they pretend to be
No. Well, no. What you said before then, you said these women.
I said these women
right?
are handicapping
right. go ahead.
Their
kids. Okay.
These women are handicapping
okay.
their kids. Their sons.
Okay. Okay.
They're turning their sons into women. They're turning their sons into women, not consciously, unconsciously, because what the problem is you have so many battered women. I call them R. Kelly women, you know what I'm saying? Always listening to a soul song, you know, I hate men sometimes, I love men sometimes. But what happens is when the man does something to the woman, the child becomes the woman's man. But, you know, the woman don't really see it like that, you know what I'm saying? The child start doing little things as if to act like he running the show. But she feel like he's a child, so she don't feel like he know what he's doing, but guess what? All the time they do. So when it's time for the child, they have to stand up. He don't have that characteristic in him, you know, that warrior thing.
you know, we all have this warrior thing in us. But if you never had to fight, when it's time to fight, you ain't going to fight. You know what you're going to do. Pull him down, bend over. And the nigga ain't even going to put his hands on you. Nigga going to tell you to take your clothes off. You're going to do it. This out of fear.
No, I'm sorry. You're just going to be there, yes. You're just going to stand there and be like, take your clothes off. Crying.
Man, why you ain't got to do this, nigga? Take your clothes off. Shut up.
So they want to take that ass cutting. I'm sorry, no weapon or nothing. Just no jacking them up, no putting their hands on them, just telling them just to take their clothes off.
Yeah, because you know, in life you got this thing called hype and fame. And people live off the hype and people live off the fame. You know what I'm saying? So you gotta think. Here comes somebody saying, well, shit, that nigga Debo is such and such and such and such. But you ain't seen Debo knock nobody out. You just heard Debo knock a few niggas out. That nigga Big Tony got them a Lil Sean. That nigga such and such and such. But you ain't seen Big Sean stab nobody. You just heard that he'll do it. So here come another person putting fear in you about an action that you never seen take place. You know how life is. Man, that nigga, they'll burn you. That nigga, they'll shoot you. But you ain't never seen them pull the trigger. But because this other dude telling you that, get what, you take it as official. So when it's time to be a man and stand up to Big John or Big Tony or Big Debo, guess what? You don't really got it in you. You know what I'm saying? Because the hype done tricked you. See, me, I ain't never cared about the hype. I'm on the show and prove tip. So when Debo come talking to me, I knock Debo out. You understand what I'm saying? He got to show me this what he about, because I ain't just going to go by hearsay. You know, that's like rap music. You know what I'm saying? Niggas, I see niggas arguing every day about Weezy or Thug or this person or that person or this person. You know what I'm saying? But in all actuality, you never even witnessed none of them things. You never even rolled or been on the side of these dudes with none of them things. But that's just how America is. You know America built on propaganda, man. Propaganda rule the world, man. You know how it go. You know?
Yeah, you're right about that right there, brother.
Propaganda rule the world. But I ain't degrading the sisters, because at the same time, it's been a plan put in place to handicap the black woman and to handicap the black man. Prisoners at an all-time high. We damn near at a million. So that's a whole nother country locked up. That's a whole nother goddamn continent of people incarcerated. And the sad part about it is...
The whole continent locked up.
Yeah, a whole continent of people, man. And they locked up to the point
right
where they're cool with it.
Oh, they're cool with it. Let me ask you this
right
here. All right. See, I'm asking about this homosexual shit, right? I'm going to ask another question or two about that, because some of these boys out here, they little boys to me, little kids. They holding on to this culture of hip-hop. They following these T.I.s, these Futures. Matter of fact, the motherfucking name Future. So he's telling you right there, this is what the future going to be as far as hip-hop goes. Pants,
yeah,
look like a damn skinny. They're skinny at the bottom by the ankles, but they're big and bulky, like, you know, a dress at the top. But, you know, they're looking at these rappers, and they're thinking this what it is. Looking at this Rick, what is his name, Rick Rose, you know, who based his life off of a man that stole a lot of drugs in the black community, mainly, which was Freeway Ricky Ross. Fuck you, Freeway Ricky Ross, if you're listening. The real one and the fake one, because you ain't never do nothing but what? Destroy our community, so fuck you, nigga. But anyway, I had to get off my chest. What do you feel about rappers such as Rick Ross? And what you feel, do you feel like he's genuinely saying it for it is what it is, or he has some type of motive behind his lyric and some of the things he says inside his rap? You know, being that he's an ex-prison guard, not a police. Not a CEO from out the county, but a CEO from the prison.
I'm gonna say this right here first. Real is real. Fake is fake, right? 100 is 100, and 99 is 99, right? So you can't be 100 and then sometime be 99. Either you 100 or you 99. What done happened is with dudes like that, it's a gray area for them. See, with money comes fans. But fans get confused with friends. So at the end of the day, it ain't even about the music. It's about the money. But you know, ever since we lost Pac, Public Enemy, Poor Righteous Teacher, A Tribe Called Quest, you know, ever since we lost these type of people in the music game, there's been no more messages. Even the old school cats that used to shoot the messages, now they on the bullshit. I feel like they misleading the kids. They're making the kids feel like they could get a Maybach. So if you can feel like you could get a Maybach without a job, then you know you're going to jail. If you ain't going to go to jail, you're going to get killed from it. You're going to either go to, you know, but, you know, that's what I'm saying. This, what I'm saying is these niggas ain't pushing music. These niggas pushing suckerism. These niggas pushing poison. Look, look at this new song. Look at this new song they got on the radio now. Y'all niggas move that dope. Move that dope. Got to move. Come on, man. Who does that? But, you know, it's a bigger thing. You got Viacom now. See, Viacom is like a corporation, and they buy other small companies, right? So let's look at it like this. Viacom buy BET, Viacom buy MTV, right? But what they do is they leave the names on the building. So you think you still listening to the shit from back in the days, but actually you listening to Viacom. You understand what I'm saying? So what Viacom do is they say, look, this is what y'all going to do. Okay, we're going to give y'all this money to make this music, but this is the type of music you're going to push. Okay, it's such thing as the hip-hop police. Pop been giving it to you for years. You know what I'm saying? Them boys been out there giving it to you for years. You know what I mean? But anytime you talking something that's part, look, they done killed Common. Common on Common gone. Anytime you trying to deliver a message,
what Common?
Common the rapper. Not the, I'm just saying,
where
what I'm saying is not. Not literally,
oh,
dead.
Lyrically, just being Common.
Yeah, lyrically, and more of that. Right?
Hmm. Yeah.
So now you got right. now you got dudes now. What's up, bro? All right. Now you got dudes now, bro. Guess what they doing? Everybody want to be a thug. Everybody think that's the way to go. But I'm saying, ain't nobody talking about, okay, yeah, you could thug, little homie, but guess what? Watch out for the police, man. Watch out for the haters, man. Watch out for the robbers, man. Get your money, cuz, but watch out for this or that. It ain't like that no more. Now it's just get you a Bentley. Get you a gold chain. Pop you a $1,500 bottle of champagne. Know what I'm saying? And you could be a baller, too. You feel me? But you ain't got no job. So guess what? You going to prison. So these niggas ain't even much out here pushing nothing that's productive. They pushing poison. They the killers. You know, the media gave them a voice. So now they killers. But, you know, if they try to go any other route, in this book called, not a message to the black man, it's another book I'm about to tell you, Knowledge of Self. This brother Supreme, he got an article with T.I. say, you know, I could go anywhere they want to go. He said, but that ain't what they listening to. He said, so I'm going to go with what's going to bring the check. You understand what I'm saying? So T.I. went from,
I think... I seen T.I., they had like a State of the Black Union, some type of little mini State of the Black Union, and they had T.I. on there, and I want to say they had Common on there as well. They asked T.I., and T.I. said exactly what you said. He said, I'm going to say, you know, I'm going to push what they want to hear. You know, he said something about being conscious, but at the end of the day, you know, he's still rolling with Rush.
Okay, then. So think about this right here. Pop pushed what you wanted to hear, but he made you hear what he needed you to hear. Boogie Down Production, KRS-One, Scott La Rock, they push what you like, but they made you hear what you needed to hear. You understand what I'm saying? Anytime you keep a nation of people in darkness, what you going to get? You already know what you going to get. We hate each other. It's so bad that in prison, right? You know, I can't get off this. I'm glad you woke me up today, and I appreciate that. But this is what I got to say. Man, in prison is so bad, man. So they got tables. When you go to trial, you got the D.C. dudes. You got the Virginia dudes. You got the New York dudes. You got the Mexicans. You got the white boys. You got the Georgia boys, right? But you ain't got Georgia whites and Georgia blacks, you know what I'm saying? Because either you a skinhead, a Aryan, a dirty South, either you D.C., Baltimore, Maryland. But guess what? The sad part about the shit, right, when you sit back and look, right, because, you know, my last little stint in prison really had me depressed. I went through a stage of depression.
But it really was an eye-opener because it made me realize just how conscious I was or just how much I had changed, you know. And what happened was I started seeing things like, damn, he got on a pair of brown khaki pants and I got on a pair of black khaki pants. He black and I'm black. But we ain't going to kick it because I'm from Savannah. I'm from Georgia and you from New York. So I'm a lame or I'm a country nigga. Don't you know all niggas come from the country? All us walked on dirt roads and shit. Y'all tripping. How you think we ran? You think we ran on concrete? Come on, man. So now we can't get along or there ain't going to be no uprising and no penitentiaries across the world. Guess why? Because long as the system got us hating each other, they don't have to worry about it. That's why God could come to jail and be comfortable. That's why the people could come to jail and be comfortable and tell you shut the fuck up, slap your mama picture on the floor, throw your children toys, you know, whatever you got, they could take. And niggas don't do shit, they take it. But guess what? If you go in the room, little homie, yeah, I'm talking to the youth. If one of y'all go in my room or go in another nigga room and you touch something or you move something or you slam something on the floor, guess what's going to happen to you? A nigga going to punch holes in you. They gonna make you look like a pincushion, man. And that's real. We ain't talking no games. So y'all could be out there talking about, well, I'm a toe to gat. Okay, the feds got a new law. It's called ceasefire. If you got a felony, you're looking at 10, 20 life. If you get 10 years in the feds, if you get 10 years in the feds, you do 8 years and 10 months. You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you this right here. Let me ask you this. Speaking of that, your last charge that got you sent to prison. Can you expound on that a little bit and just tell us what happened?
My last charge was a dope. My last charge, the police kicked in my dope. This was like in 2003. They ain't find no dope, no money, no nothing. They found a little bit of change. They found an 0.3 hydrochloric field. That don't even justify trafficking or possession or nothing. I end up, they found a gun. When they found the gun, they pulled the gun out the air conditioning duct. This was the funny thing. The gun was already in a plastic bag, like a big Ziploc bag with writing on it. The police pulled it out. Guess what he say? Oh, look what I found. I said, man, how you found that? But to make a long story short, I went to jail. I got out of jail on bond. I'm out. I go back to court like 2-3 times. The third time I went to court, my lawyer tell me all charges been dismissed. So I'm thinking I'm free. I'm walking around, you know, I go to the club to celebrate. So one night I come out the club, the police pulled me over. At the time, it was a lot of stuff going on in Savannah anyway. But my name is got mixed up with somebody else's name. So when the police pull up on me, they draw down on me, tell me to get on the ground, lock me up, take me down to the precinct. I'm sitting in the back of the car for a couple of hours in front of the precinct by myself. It's a funny thing. A dude was walking down the street. I knock on the window, a black dude. I say, man, open the door. He started running. So I end up going to jail. So while I'm in jail, I find out the ATF got a warrant out for my arrest. That's alcohol, tobacco, and firearms for y'all that don't know. At the time, I wasn't on probation. I wasn't on paper, but the only paper I had on me was the invisible paper. That's that F. I was a convicted felon. So they had them sent the gun to the feds. The feds locked me up for the gun. The sad part about the gun was the gun had no clip, no spring, no trigger, no barrel, no firing mechanism, no bullets. The gun didn't even shoot. Them crackers gave me 10 years, dog. That's 120 months. Guess what I did? I did about 119, 115, 100 and something of them. Yeah, that's what happened to me. You know what I'm saying? And at the time, I was a kid, so I was like 20-something. When I got out of prison, I was down there 40. So y'all could run around and tote guns and feel like it's a game. It's not. See, y'all, we thinking out here that y'all beefing with this nigga, but we don't realize about the system, you know what I'm saying? And what we don't understand is that we really fighting a war, you know what I'm saying? And if you don't, you know, you need your canteen, you need your tote sack, you need your rifle, you need your extra bullets, you need your helmet, you need your bulletproof vest and your boots and your fatigue. But what's happening is we just going out here with the fatigue and the boots on and the gun. We ain't got on the vest. We ain't got on the helmet, and when we get thirsty, together, we ain't got no water. So then when you get locked up, now you're looking crazy. Then you start feeling mad and getting mad with your family because nobody ain't sending you nothing. But when you was out here, you wasn't doing shit. Come on, man. If you out here getting money and you taking care of your family
and you go to jail, how the broke people that you was taking care of going to take care of you? Come on, man. They tripping, bro. They tripping, but they're serious, man.
Let me ask you this. What is the youngest lifer that you ever seen?
One of my homeboys from Savannah, he was 17. He was 17. Right now he should be 40. But they offered him 5 or 10. Now he's doing life, and he's still fighting. He's still locked up.
When you say life, you mean life,
ain't no never coming home. You're going to die. If you don't beat your charge or the system don't change, if you don't get nothing overturned, you're going to die right there in prison. Hasta la vista, ain't it? Hasta la vista, ain't that what Arnold Schwarzenegger niggas say? Yeah, you're going to die
in prison. I'm glad a lot of people, I wish this podcast can go and become global, because a lot of young kids need to listen and hear this right here, because they think it's such a glamour damn life. You never really hear rappers rapping about the system. You know,
stay free. Because guess why they ain't rapping about the system? They ain't going to rap about the system, brother. The system will kill them. The system will kill them. It started with J. Edgar Hoover, man. Think about it, bro. If you know your history, this is what you need to tell them, bro. Tell them to learn their history, man. From the Black Panthers on down, man. Them folks been killing us for years, man. You know what I'm saying? Every time the black people try to stand up, they're going to kill you. So what the rappers done is they say, fuck it, we just to get the money, so we'll lay down. We'll let these niggas see these Gucci cars, these Gucci rims, these Gucci glasses, this true religion shit that you know you can't reach, $300 pair of jeans. What you going to do? They wash themselves? But, you know, this is what they want. You know, in society, it's about status quo. And what the rappers doing is they preaching status quo. They ain't preaching survival. You know what I'm saying? They telling you to go kill another nigga if a nigga cross you. They ain't telling you you're going to go to jail for the rest of your life. They ain't telling you that, man. And if you don't think it's real, man, all you got to do is try it. It's there. That's why I say, man, you got real men and then you got fake thugs. You know what I'm saying? Which one are you? Real men stand up. Because when it's time to man up, that's what you got to do.
And that's what you have to do. I'm gonna take a little short commercial break. Can you stay on the line for a minute? I'm gonna play this song, and after that we're gonna come back. I'm gonna bring in Brother Messiah 7. After this break, you know, but I still have some more questions to ask you. So can you just please hold on the line for a couple of minutes, and you know, I'll be right back with you. Inmate 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Thanks for your face, London. Everybody in the house, make some noise. I want everybody in the house to say, ho! Your truck, kick it to them, man.
A ballad behind bars, or you could say real rock from the rock. An unusual musical happening in a most unusual place. The state prison
I got a letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it. It said they were suckers. They wanted me for their army or whatever. Picture me giving a damn. I said never. Here's a land that never gave a damn about a brother like me and myself, because they never did. I wasn't with it, but just that very minute it occurred to me the suckers had authority. Cold sweating as I dwell in my cell. How long has it been? They got me sitting in a state pen. I gotta get out, but that thought was thought before. I contemplated a plan on the cell floor. I'm not a fugitive on the run. But a brother like me begun to be another one. Public enemy serving time. They drew the line, y'all. They criticized me for some crime. Nevertheless, they could not understand that I'm a black man and I can never be a veteran. On the strength of situations unreal, I got a raw deal. So I'm looking for the steal. Word them up. I'm looking for that seal.
Yo, man, we gonna break you out of there, man. We ain't gonna like that, man.
Don't you know they got me rotten in the time that I'm serving? Telling you what happened the same time they're throwing. Four of us packed in a cell like slaves. Oh, well, the same motherfucker got us living in his hell. You have to realize what is the form of slavery organized under a swarm of devils. Straight up, word them up on the level. The reasons are several. Most of them federal.
Yeah.
Here's my plan.
trust yo. Some do a bit from 1 to 10, but I never did, and plus I never been. I'm on a tier with no tears should ever fall. Self blocked and locked, I never clock it, y'all. Cause time and time again, time they got me serving to those of them. I'm not a citizen, but ever when I catch the CO, sleeping on the job, I'm planning on go ahead. I want a streak, but I'ma tell you the deal. I got nothing to lose, cause I'm going for the steal.
Yo, Chuck, we gonna break you out of here, man. Words of strength, G.
I'm going for that steal.
Burn up, G. They're trying to put black out of the game by keeping you in there, you know what I'm saying? But they can't keep a good man down.
Got it. Got me in the cell.
Hey, yo, Chuck, we got
it. His gun, and he did what I said so. And every man's a man got served, along with the time they served. Decency well deserved. To understand my demands, I gave a warning. I wanted the governor, y'all, and plus the warden to know that I was innocent. Because I'm militant, posing a threat. You better fucking up the government. My plan said I had to get out and break north. Just like Oliver's neck, I had to get off. My boys had the feds in check. They couldn't try nothing. We had a force to instigate a prison riot. This what it takes for peace. So I just took the peace, black for black. It's my time to cut the leash. Freedom to get out through the ghetto. No sellouts. 60 O's we got, we ought to put their head out. But I'll give them a chance, cause I'm civilized. As for rest of the world, they can't realize a cell is hell. I'm a rebel, so I rebel. Between bars got me thinking like an animal. Got a woman CO to call me a copter. She tried to get away, and I popped her twice, right? Never wanna get nice. I had 60 O's, and now it's 5 to go, and I'm serious. Call me delirious, but I'm still a captive. I gotta rap this time to break as time grows intense. I got my steel in my right hand, now I'm looking for the fence.
Hey yo, Chuck, we got the dope plan in effect. G, word to the strength, man.
I'm looking for that fence.
Word, I got the 98 5C, Professor Good for the S1s. Yo, Chuck, we coming, man.
As I ventured into the courtyard, followed by 52 brothers bruised, battered and scarred but hard. Going out with a bang, ready to bang out. The power from the sky, from the tower, shots rang out. A high number in dose, yes, it's something close. I figure I trigger my steel stand and hold my post. This is what I mean, an anti-nigga machine. If I come out alive, then they won't come clean. Then I threw up, my steel bullet flew up. And to my surprise, the wall and tower blew up. Who shot what, who, what, the bazooka was who? And to my rescue, it was a S1W. Secure my getaway, so I just got away. The joint broke from the black smoke. Then they thought it was rougher than the average bluffer. Cause the steel was black, the attitude exact. Now the chase is on, telling you to come on. 53 brothers on the run, and we are gone.
Yes, that right there was my boy's Public Enemy. Public Enemy. That right there is called Black Steel in the Hour Chaos. Oh, in the first world, the Hour Chaos. But I'm bringing back my guest on the line. I have my boy also on the line, Mr. Messiah 7, and inmate 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. How you like that song, brother?
That's what it's about, man.
That's what it's about, military mind, man.
I'm glad you like it.
I'm glad you played it.
Oh, yeah, of course, of course. You know, a lot of people, they listen to the song, but they never really had got what the song was really about.
That's true.
But before we left, I asked you, so,
hello?
Yes. So what was the oldest lifer you ever ran across? I don't mean like the oldest person who had got a life sentence, but the oldest and most, who's been in there the longest?
It was an old dude in there named Hashtag, man. Hashtag was about 89.
And it was what?
Hashtag.
And how long was
that's
Hashtag?
I don't know why they call him that, but that's what they call him. Old school, OG. But OG still ran around the track. He was like 89, but he still ran laps and everything. But, you know.
Well, you know, hey, that's the melanin side of the African body, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he don't eat no meat. He don't eat fruits. He eat a lot of vegetables and shit. He don't eat no rice. Stuff like that, you know? But at the same time, just like he used to say, shit, oh, that's good, but I still can't get out. So, you know, he went to be having a little campaign, you know, like, I ain't trying to see y'all locked up, you know, but like he say, the youth dead, man. The youth done got to the point, man, where, man, it's really hard to deal with them, man. It's not even hard to deal with them. The brothers just don't got the patience to deal with them like they used to, man. So it make it hard for people, man. You know what I'm saying? Make it hard for people, man. You know?
I think that back in the days, a lot of people that went to prison were older people. You know,
yeah.
In order to go to prison when you was young, back in the days, and I mean back in the days, I'm talking about like the 80s and the 70s, you had to be like,
yeah.
In your 20s, you had to be like pushing on your third or fourth or fifth to go to prison. You know,
yeah.
It's a lot they was able to get away with then that they cannot get away with now. You know, you see
that's
the influx of kids going to prison for possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. That's why when I see, I was talking about T.I. earlier before you called in, and I was like, you know how he get caught with that small army worth of weapons. He had enough weapons to purchase a small army. But I was, you know, just asking how he got caught with all of those firearms and only did, I think, 13 months. Just that, behind that. And you remember the commercial Johnny Cochran had about, you know, felons with guns through time, he can get you off for any damn thing except for if you're a convicted felon with a firearm.
That's true. That's true, because the firearm law was made for the youth. It was made for the black man. You got the NRA, the National Rifle Association. They run Congress. They got all kind of shit. Automatic weapon bans. Now they got this new thing. Shit, you can throw the gun in the bar. How you going to throw the gun in the bar and everybody drinking? So, you know, the laws was created for the people. And, you know, for the people meaning for those that of a Caucasian, you know, because I'm trying to make everything so racist, but I'm just going to keep it real. Man, the white man ain't doing no time, man. You know what I'm saying? Same charges. Same dope, same gun, same meth lab, same rape a child. The motherfuckers getting out, man. You know what I'm saying? But they taking out babies, man, and they locking them up, man, and they ain't letting them never come home, man. When you come home, everybody dead. You know what I'm saying? They stealing your youth, man. And in the process of stealing your youth, they ain't even much feeding your mind. See, you can sit in prison for your whole bed and not do nothing but work in the kitchen. Or not do nothing, you know what I'm saying? You know, you got so many aspiring rappers in prison. Everybody want to rap. But everybody ain't talking about shit. You got niggas rapping about cocaine they ain't never seen. You know what I mean? Everybody had a brick. But but niggas can't even count to a million. From zero to one, from zero to a million. You know what I'm talking about? It's a bad
situation. You said a minute ago of the pistol that you had that they know that you didn't have, that they found in the house where you was at. Were you the only person at home at the time when they kicked the door in?
No, I wasn't the only person home.
How many people were there?
I wasn't the only person home. It was three people in the house. My name wasn't even on the warrant. I was just who they said they was looking for.
So who they were looking for? I'm saying, who the other three people was in the house?
Me, a chick, and another dude. It was the other dude's house. I ain't even had nothing in the house that belonged to me. I still end up doing it 10 years. Thank you.
And you said the pistol didn't have no firing pin.
Man, no fingerprints, no fire pin, no. And then they found another gun, they said. They went and asked the people, was the gun stolen out of their house or were they missing the gun? Guess what the people say no.
What did they say?
They said, no, they wasn't missing nothing. They said, nobody broke in their house. People said they knew me and all. Said they, of course, I couldn't have did it because they was friends with my family. But, you know, they wanted me so bad, bro. You know what I'm saying? See, when you really a thug and you really out here in these streets, man, and you really, you know what I'm saying, being looked upon a certain way, guess what, bro? Man, no folks want you, man. It ain't about what you doing. It's about how you think. You know what I'm saying?
So
it's
the
about
beast,
how you think, man.
So the beast stay hungry. The beast has an appetite that's out of this world. The beast never gets full. It's an all-consuming beast. Not an all-consuming fire. It's an all-consuming beast that looks at every chance it gets to consume.
All these mothers got to do, man, is take a look at the stock market, man. If you take a look at the stock market, man, you'll see your uncle on there if he in jail. You'll see your child on there if he in jail. But, shit, the YDCs ain't no better either. YDCs, many prisons. YDC, many prisons. You know what I'm saying? Nigga get locked up in juvenile now, shit, nigga gone forever. The YDC are many prisons. You know what I'm saying? The YDC are many prisons too, man. You know what I'm saying? They go to juvenile. That shit a mini prison, man.
So, you said the oldest lifer was
89. 89.
How many years did he do in prison?
And guess what? I could go a little further than that. There was another dude about 80-something, but he in a wheelchair. And guess what? Niggas still pushing him around, man. Niggas still pushing him around.
He can't walk. And he's older than the dude that's 90-something.
Yeah, he older than him. But I'm just saying, they about the same age. I'm just saying that to say, fans, man, prison don't care, man. You could be on the cane, crutches, wheelchair. As long as they get their time, man. That's what that shit about. At the end of the day, it's about it. We want our time. We don't care nothing about nothing else. We just want you to be in jail. You know what I'm saying? And society forget about you, any crime to be committed. Look at the Columbine school shootings. You think they let that shit go? They forgot about that until it happened again. But you know what I'm saying? It wasn't our kids. It was their kids. You know what I'm saying? The media don't depict nothing positive about the black folk. They only show white people getting cats and shit out of trees. The all-time hero or some shit like that. You know what I'm saying? When the black man do something good, they don't show that shit, man. Only thing they want to do is put you on Chatham Most Wanted, man. You could be wanted for child support, and they'll have you armed and dangerous. So the police run up on you, what they going to do? They going to shoot you, then say freeze. Come on, man. This shit crazy, man. This shit crazy. But, you know, these mothers out here, they by themselves. They coming home from work. They frustrated. They mad. So what they saying? Go play your game. Go watch TV. You know what I'm saying? Just get out of my face. A woman can't teach a man to be a man, man. She could raise a son, but she can't teach him to be a man. She could try. You know what I'm saying? You become a man through trial and error. You know what I'm saying? You become a man between your decision-making. You ain't got to go to prison to be in prison. Look how many people out here in poverty and in prison. Come on, man.
You know, figure that right there. Let me ask you this right here. And that's very interesting that you said that, right? Have you ever experienced, a father being in prison and seeing his child come in the same prison where he was at?
Hell yeah. I said, and I was with a nigga who was me and his dad. Me, him, and his daddy worked out together. Nigga said, man, that's my daddy right there. I said, God damn. You know what I'm saying? Nigga said, his sister was locked up too, man. This shit for real, man. This shit for real. You know what I'm saying? You know, and I know people don't be liking to listen to their mamas or think people don't know what they're talking about when they tell you, hey, man, you better slow down. But you know what I learned? It's like when you tell a child, don't stick a fork in an electrical socket. Because as a child, you ain't going to let them get shocked. But I feel like when they be adults and you tell them, the only way the people going to listen is if they go through it, brother. They ain't going to listen if they ain't went through it. Because if they ain't went through it, they ain't going to believe it. So your words today is like a Charlie Brown movie. Wah, 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 wah. They don't hear you, man.
So let me ask you, so you saying that, I hear what you're saying. So in other words, you're saying that it's nothing that can be done? No words that can be said, nothing that we can do to sway the minds of our youth to keep them out of the belly of the beast. Because we are at war, 24-7, we are at war. Now,
yeah, we are, brother.
You say you hate to use the white folks thing, you know, so much, but I guarantee you that if you'd have been white inside the house and it came and busted, you wouldn't have went to jail. And if you went to jail, nothing would have came of it.
Not what it became of it, bro. They let everybody go except me. Then the sad part about it was they wanted me to be a rat. They wanted me to tell. Hey, man, if you tell on somebody, man, we'll let you go. You'll let me go.
Who was going to tell on?
Myself. When you at the top of the food chain, who you got to tell on? Ain't nobody to tell on but yourself. You know what I'm saying? But at the
same time,
you know, that's what I'm saying. When you think about it, what's the good in telling on another man and sending them through that shit, man? You might as well handle your business in the street, man. You know, that's what it used to be. You know what I'm saying? But the youth now, guess what? Like I say, man, they cutting up, bro.
Hey, you know what?
They cutting up, man.
I got another jam I'm going to play. I'm just going to play a little piece of it. But I remember hearing this shit when I was a kid, right? The first part of the song was funny as the first part of the song was very funny. You know, I listened to it and I laughed. He ate up all the pizza.
Yeah.
He got caught at Burger King.
Uh-huh.
But then the end of the song, this is the part I'm going to play, it got so deep that it went from being humorous to being serious.
Yeah,
and I felt it in such a way that it made an impact on me. And I'm going to play a little bit of it. You know, it's a little small portion of it, but, you know, it's old school like me, because you are listening, everyone, to Savannah Black Conscious Attack.
Okay, then. Here's the hell.
then you'll be, oh shit. Hey, that took me back old school, brother. That took me back old school. Inmate.
You're better than new school any day, man.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Go ahead, what you said, brother?
Old school better than new school any day, man. What they done did is they done killed the old school, man. They're trying to kill out the old school. They're trying to kill out the old school because the voices of the old people was going to keep you grounded. But, you know, it's to the point now where the youth like, shit, fuck them old motherfuckers. They don't know what we going through out here, man. They ain't in this struggle. They ain't seeing they folks suffering because guess what? The crack epidemic's still real. The drug epidemic's still real. But guess what done happened? The voices of the rappers, they done took the voices of the rappers. So now they ain't talking about mom and them struggling no more. They talking about selling the dope. You know what I'm saying? They ain't talking about the canned goods on the shelf
no
more.
They ain't talking about, you know what? You're right. They ain't talking about giving mama a goddamn thing.
No, man. They ain't talking about that. Eminem got a song called Sorry Mama, I Ain't Meant to Hurt You, But I'm Tired of You. You know what I'm saying? You know, the mamas used to be looked upon as the queens, man. You know, the grandmamas and the aunts. It was yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Now it's what? Huh? Who you talking to? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's all changing, man. You know, our society, man, our culture. You remember what Public Enemy say? We lost our culture. We lost our mind. We even lost our minds, man, out here, man, as a people, you know.
We lost our religion, our culture, our freedom. And some of us even lost our minds.
Lost our minds.
Yeah, and that's the prelude to Night of the Living Basehead.
That's right. So, you know, there's still fiends out here. There's still people out here on drugs, man. This shit ain't changing. They still locking us up for it. You know what I'm saying? You still got niggas got dreams of being a kingpin or being a Castro. You know what I'm saying? You still got people out here with them same dreams. You still got niggas out here riding these streets every night. You know what I'm saying? Done been to prison. Know the consequences. And guess what? They still trying to feed their family, man. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, once you get that elf, you ain't good for nothing but a warehouse. Maybe a forklift if you get some license or something, loading a truck or unloading a truck. You know what I'm saying? Yes, it done got to the point now, guess what? If you ain't got a GED, nigga, you can't even flip a burger. You know what I'm saying? That's how bad it is, man. So
hey,
you got to think you do all that time in prison, and your kid come home. You ain't got shit to give him because you ain't had shit before he left. He come home looking for the parade. Guess what? Ain't nobody got no parade for you, nigga. You better get in where you fit in. And the same niggas you was fucking with while you was doing your bid, when you come home, get what the nigga say. When you go in the store and they see you go in the store. Hey, man, cousin, bring me a blunt up out of there. Bring me a blunt, man. Hey, man, buy me a bill. Straight up. You know what I'm saying? It ain't no joke. You know what I'm saying? You thinking that, you know how I go park say, in real life, you think your enemy is your enemy. And you think the niggas you with is your friends, but in real life, the enemy becomes your friend, and the niggas that you're fucking with ain't nothing. It's a crazy world, man. You don't know, man. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, homeboy done went too far. You my homeboy when you homeboy, but you ain't nothing when you gone, boy.
Hey,
niggas don't write
that one
letters,
more time.
Man.
Please say that right there one more time.
You my homeboy when you homeboy, but you ain't nothing when you gone, boy, and niggas don't write letters. So I'll holler at you when
now,
you get back if I'm here. That's the way it goes.
I was about to play another clip. But, you know, you said something earlier about people in the jailhouse. See, there's a whole bunch of rappers in jail.
Yeah, it's a whole bunch of rappers.
See, and I'm wondering what I don't believe in somebody being the greatest or the best. All outside anybody, excuse me, I'm sorry, hold up for a minute. All praise is due to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Minister Malcolm X, and the great Messiah Marcus Garvey. Anybody else I might have forgot. But everybody else, as far as saying they're the greatest this and the greatest that, I don't believe in all that greatest shit.
You're as great as you make yourself out to be, bro.
You know, I feel like a lot of people, they just, They can shine, but they're just too scared to shine. But I'm gonna give you about 4 minutes, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm gonna do. I want you to just talk and tell your story at 4 minutes, but at the same time, right? No matter of fact, I'm gonna give you 6 minutes.
Six minutes.
6 minutes. I want you to tell the youth out there that's listening the consequences that come along with them wanting to be a thug and going to prison. But I got a little treat for you, right? You listening?
Yeah, I'm listening.
I'm going to let you do. Hey, my brother, some Ray say we all are great in our own right. You know what? You're right, Brother Stoneway. We all are great in our own right.
Yeah.
All of us are. All of us are G-O-D. But it depends on what type of God you are that you are. But I'm going to play this right here, right? And I'm going to let you do your own thing for 6 minutes. So just do me a favor. We got, you know, some little kids that might be listening and going to listen to the show. So just kind of, you know what? Fuck it. Put it out there the way you want to put it out there. 6 minutes. How about that?
That's what's up. Yo, man, it's your man, inmate 1234567 89. Coming to the youth, man. Mayday, 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 man. It's an emergency out here, man. I'm out here in these streets, man. As I speak to y'all right now, man, I'm riding Harriet Truman, man. I'm out here in these streets just like you, man. And I'm telling y'all right now, man, y'all got to wake up, man. If y'all don't wake up, man, they're going to wake you up, man. And you're going to find yourself in a 5x10, man. You know, you'll find yourself in a box, man, by yourself. You'll find yourself in a box with somebody trying to be your daddy. You'll find yourself in a box, man, with somebody trying to take your life, man. It's real out here, man. It's real out here. You got to wake up. Got to do it how you gonna do it. Got to wake up, man. It's a serious thing. Every day it be the same thing. You got to get your mind right. Trying to live the street, getting caught up in the street life. Every day the same thing. Tell me what you're thinking about. Living on the corner, homie. Tell me what you're drinking out. Young nigga trying to be a thug. They got you trapped in the ghetto where you're getting no love. You got some homies that you deal with. They ain't true. Talk about the things that y'all all gonna do till the time get real. You're behind the steel. It's another man trying to take your meal. Keep your head to the sky, ain't no need to cry. Ain't no mama in the cell when you about to die. And you screaming and you pleading, ain't no way to go. If you don't get it right, then you turn to a hoe. You try to grab your shank, you just can't blink. A nigga tell you this ain't the worst thing. If you ain't got it right, then same old thing. I just trapped in the pen trying to be a man. Trying to tell the mamas, just let them go. Let them grow up and be men, that's the way that it goes. If you don't get it right, you will not see. It's the life and the times of a real OG. I'm telling you the truth if you don't know. So open your mind, cause this the way that it go. I gotta keep it true, this is what I'm saying. If you ain't old school, then they really ain't playing. Pass be sagging by the stove. Talking to the youth, man, you gotta wake up. If you don't, I swear to God that they gon' take us. Your life be serious and it be true.
Hey,
y'all got
man,
to wake
hey,
up, man.
Hey,
y'all
hey,
got
man.
To wake up, man. Y'all got to wake up, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm just being funny and cracking. But I'm on some seriousness, man. You got to wake up, man. If you don't, man, you're going to find yourself in a cell, man. And, you know, the thing about being in a cell, this is what I learned, man. I learned a lot about me. You know, it took more than one time, but at the end of the day, I learned a lot about me, man. You know, and I don't care what nobody say, you could be the hardest of the hardest. And this to all the old thugs, hard dudes, gangsters, whatever you portray yourself, gangbanger, whatever, gods, messiah, however, I'm going to tell you this. Man, you don't know yourself till you got to deal with yourself. And when you out here in the world, man, you don't got time to be still, so therefore you continue to go through the same things. You continue to see life as a game. But then when you wake up, man, and you 40, man, and you done been locked up half of your life, and now you talking about, you know what? I'm going to try to do the right thing. I'm going to do the right thing. What's your definition of the right thing after 40 years of thugging? What's your definition, man? Because when things get hard, what you going to do? You know what I'm saying? What, you going to suffer? Or you going to be like, fuck it, shit, I'm 40. I might as well just keep on at it. But guess what? Every time you go to jail and come back, homie, just remember, man, it was a lot of calendars clicking. 10 calendars, 5 calendars, 20 calendars.
Hey, hold up for a second. I got somebody I'm about to bring in the chat room. I think they don't know they had if they want to ask the question. 901, 901. 901,
yes,
you want to go ahead, 901.
Yes, sir. PT, brother. This brother, Sun Ray. Peace to y'all, brothers. Man, y'all laying it down.
What's up, brother Nine? What's up, brother Nine?
What's up, brother? I ain't want to hold you, but I just want to call in, man. I appreciate y'all for doing this show, man. Hey, look. It's going to take more of us, man, to keep the brothers who've been incarcerated and have learned a lot of this, brother, to put this information out. Because, hey, brother, they don't think this stuff real, man. I've been down the road myself. Yeah, I've been down the road myself, man. They don't think this stuff is real. And what made me change, man, and want to do for self, I had to realize, man, it wasn't all about me. Man, sitting in jail, man, and seeing my mama come in there and keep crying, and then seeing my 8-year-old brother wondering why his brother can't come home with him. He can't understand that. He crying. Man, I had to take time out. Man, I had to change, man. I had to get that shit up, man. To go to the parole board, and they tell you, you know, you're allowed a little petty charge, right? But you go to the parole board, they tell you, they deny you, talking about you a threat to society, you a high risk to society. What kind of shit that is, man? And like I said, seeing your man, mother, keep crying, because of this shit, man, I had to change, brother. I had to realize this shit wasn't all about me. Cause I had somebody, man, I kept hurting out there. Kept putting her money up for bail money, lawyer money. I couldn't continue to do that. So when I appreciate the brothers who was in there, they seen something in me to give me a word, man. They're like, hey, brother, look, forget all this bullshit out there, because that's not reality that you're living out there. You need to change that shit, brother. So, like I said, it's going to take a lot of us, man, to keep singing this song, man, because like that. Sure, is there a lot of negativity out in the atmosphere? Yeah, they putting it out like y'all brothers was talking about then the rap and shit. But here's what we got to do. We got to change the polarity of that. And then we got to put our high energy in the atmosphere so we can change it. Just as they fight hard to put that negativity out, we got to fight even harder to put this positivity out. So it can be done, but what our people got to quit doing is stop saying that it is not going to work. It's not going to work. Y'all already giving up on it. Man, our youth need us, man. They need us like a motherfucker because all these damn stupid-ass reality shows, all this stupid-ass hip-hop, and I like what y'all said, man. They killing the old-school hip-hop, and they killing, come on, we don't give a damn about nothing about them old-school hip-hoppers. So, man, I appreciate y'all, brother, for putting this show on, brother.
That's what's up, man. You know what the definition of insanity is? Thinking you can do the same shit and get different results, man. So, you know, to all them dudes out there, man, that's out there, and you listening, man, and you still doing the same shit, man. Listen, man, you crazy, man. You tripping, dog. You know what I'm saying? Because guess what? Eventually, that day going to come, and y'all know how that day come. You ain't ready for it. You ain't ready for it. Who ready to go to jail? Raise your hand. Okay, then. That's what I'm talking about. But, you know, at the same time,
right here,
man.
MA12345679. And, hey, thank you. I appreciate it. That's a good point. You have brought up Brother Sunray, man, we got to keep fighting, man. We got to keep fighting. But inmate 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, I want to ask you, on a yearly, monthly, weekly, or even daily basis, I don't really know the dynamics of it because I was like, you know, I didn't have time to do the research like I wanted to. How many people would you say die on a yearly basis in the penal system? I was talking about as far as camp that you were at.
Where I was at, okay. I'm going to say three, four a year. I'm saying that's every now and then. But you got to think you have riots, you know what I'm saying, where, you know, a person might die, but they'll act like they took them to the hole or they act like they shipped them to another prison. You see what I'm saying? So what they do that to keep down the pressure. You know what I'm saying? They do a lot of make-believing and pretending. You know what I'm saying? They make you feel like it's one thing when it's really another. You know what I'm saying? You know, so I can't really say for sure that, you know, it was 5 people or 4 people, but I know it was real serious, though. You know what I'm saying? People die every day, man.
What was the youngest? The youngest that you seen or heard of that get murdered?
I ain't even gonna lie. The youngest person I ever seen get murdered, man, was 21, man, and he had just came in, but. He was on some homeboy shit, and his homeboys got into some shit with the Mexicans, and the Mexicans killed him. When the shit broke down, his homeboys ran and hid and locked themselves in the room, and they left him out there, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, the Mexicans ain't take no prisoner, you know what I'm saying? Everybody black to them. So, you know, that's how that went, bro. You know, that's how that went, you know what I'm saying?
The population.
But I'm going to say this, in the state penitentiary in Georgia right now, man, everywhere in Georgia right now, Man, I say, man, it's at least, man, three to four, five homicides a day, man. You know what I'm saying? It's 3 to 4, 5 homicides a day or better. Niggas killing each other.
In the state prison.
In the state of Georgia, man. I say, man, it's 5 to 10. I'm gonna say more than that, but I don't really want to be. I really want to let them know the truth, man. I'm gonna say it's 10 niggas die a day, man. You know what I'm saying? Because it done got
but
bad,
they,
man.
It's but bad. They never broadcast it whatsoever.
Why they gonna broadcast it when it's the niggas killing the niggas, bro? Think about it. We just talked about that. When it's black on black, it's all good. Remember Soldier Slim? You need to play some Soldier Slim, man. Black man killing black man.
Oh.
They love a lot. White man killing black man. Black man killing white man. They sentence him to life. You know what I'm saying? That's what's going on right now, man. They don't understand. You got to think when you're dealing with the unconscious, man. They don't know what they're doing. They just think they know what they're doing. Guess what? Like me, I was unconscious before. I was a fool. So what I'm saying is, when I woke up, I realized the destruction that I had left. You know what I'm saying? Not only did I destroy others, I destroyed myself. You know what I'm saying? But
so you was like a hurricane.
No, I wasn't like that nigga though. No. I wasn't like hurricane.
No. I said like a hurricane.
Oh yeah, I was worse than that. I was a tsunami. Tsunami, what you call it?
Oh,
I was
tsunami.
An earthquake, brother. Yeah, that's what I was like, man. Catastrophic, man. It was catastrophic with me, man. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, my life with crime started out, like, at the age of 11. I think at the age of 9 or 10, I went to the juvenile with my brother. We was breaking in a phone booth or some shit. The police rolled up on us and draw down on us. We was little kids. That was the first time. All the way to the juvenile, I cried. My brother told me to shut up. You know what I'm saying? And they took us to the juvenile, locked us up, and our mother had to come get us. That was my first time ever being incarcerated. But the sad part about it was, after I got older and I thought about it, guess what, man? We was underage, and the police drew down on us like we was grown men. Handcuffed and everything, told us to shut the fuck up. And it was a cracker. And it was some crackers.
And
they were going to shoot my brother. They were going
to
shoot my brother because he grew up on Bob Marley and Buffalo Soldier. You know what I'm saying? It was crazy, man.
Hey, look. Now, I'm going to take it back to what you said earlier. You said you hate to use the term racism.
Yeah. Because you know what? It really
you
ain't.
Know, you, don't
really
like to use it. You don't like to use the term racism.
Because it ain't no such
let
thing.
Me ask this. Okay. No. I beg to differ, but that's another topic. That
no,
you
no,
don't
no, no. But
side.
Let me, can I say one thing?
What's that?
Hello? I was just saying that to say that. Man, people been hating. White people never like the black people. So how you going to make a word up for that? That's just how it is. They just try to sugarcoat that shit and cover it up for something else, bro. It is what it is. It's just that the people done got tricked to stop seeing what the fuck it really is. So now look, we embracing them and they kicking us in the ass. Come on, man, it's crazy. So why call it racism? Just call it the truth. They don't like you, man. They were bred
yeah.
not to like you. You got to think. You came over here like horses. You know, we came over here, man, from some other shit to this shit, man, and now we this shit. We can't even go back. But we ain't going to get into that. I'm just saying that to say, ain't really no, these people make up words to justify shit. They don't like you. Just leave it like that. Accept it for what it is, and you can go further. But when you try to stigmatize shit, that shit handicap you, man. That's your handicap. Your bean is a goddamn bean. No matter what name you give it, it's still a goddamn bean. Black bean, red bean, black IP, it's still a goddamn bean, man. You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask
it's still
you this right
bean,
here.
Man.
Let me ask you this. Have you ever witnessed, all right, you said that you was in boot camp and you struck someone, you know, in defense of your homeboy, right?
Yeah.
And you had to do a little bit of time, extra time behind that, right? What's
yeah,
the worst
like,
case you ever 13. Seen where you seen a child? Because you said you were 17 at the time. What's the worst case you ever seen where a child came into prison on a small stint, but got yoked up on some bigger charges, and now they locked up for several times as long as their original charge?
I met the dude from D.C., man. He was locked up for some bullshit. They sent him to the penitentiary.
and he ended up having to kill a motherfucker. Now he got 30 to life, and he still, he done the 30, he working on the life.
You got a
little more? No, yeah.
How old is he?
Huh?
Hold on, hold on.
17?
Yeah.
He got that small amount of time.
What up?
He got that small amount of time, right?
Yeah.
And he ended up, he got to do 30 to life. Because, what was he, defending himself or something like that?
Yeah, he was defending himself.
Or did he get tricked into being into a game?
No, he was defending himself. I know they ain't hit all the motherfuckers. Yeah, he was defending himself, brother.
And he wind up, do something like that happen regularly where somebody might come in on a smaller charge and they defend themselves and they end up getting extra time put on?
Yeah, okay, let me get a beat sauce. Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen that on several occasions.
And what
ended
up happening?
He ended up doing more. He ended up still being in prison. Of course, they don't care about who started it. If you got caught, you did it. You know what I'm saying? Who?
You
made this for me. That's for me.
So do you think that a lot of the women are responsible for the kids going to prison?
All right. I was going to do that anyway. Go ahead, brother.
I see you think a lot of the women are responsible for the young men going to prison?
Come on. Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You think by being the absence of a male presence at the home that that's what
it don't got nothing
to
do with the male presence in the home, because the male in the home, I mean, he taking care